A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Aesop Science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about breast milk. Is it the new superfood? Why are bodybuilders using it? And some interesting but a little concerning new research that came out recently. We're all thirsty for it. Hi.
Well, this is an idea brought up because at my birthday party on Saturday, I drank breast milk. Dang it. Isn't there one that's like,
bam, 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 canceled?
Okay, wow. Whoa. I thought one was a gunshot that went, bam, 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 bam.
Wait, you thought we had a sound that does that?
Okay, wow.
Okay, Greg doesn't. You had your birthday party. Our friend is currently breastfeeding a newborn, and we were at her place and saw frozen.
Well, I just knew that's all I wanted for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is breast milk.
All I wanted for my birthday was her breast milk. She's a beautiful human, one of my best friends, and it was delicious. Absolutely delicious. And guess what? I wasn't even hungover. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
That
I'm kidding.
That is a bold-faced lie. I've never seen you more than after your birthday
It was
party.
Such a good birthday. All I wanted for my birthday.
I mean, your birthday keeps giving and giving. Like, you had your actual birthday. Then this is a birthday party a week later. Now we're going out with some friends for a birthday dinner.
Yeah.
It's like, it never ends for you.
I know. I'm very loved. I have a gorgeous life. I don't know what else to say. But all I wanted for my birthday was my friend's breast milk. And to
Moto
dance
Mommy.
All night. What?
I was like, Moto Mommy merch? Because that's what I got you.
Yeah, and Rosalia Moto Mommy merch, which Mitch got me head to toe. I look like one of her dancers. And to dance all night. And literally, I believe it was like from 11 p.m. till 5 p.m. I did not stop dancing. I didn't talk to anyone. I honestly feel like I didn't talk to anyone. I just danced the whole time. And I was so happy. It's the key to my happiness.
It was a very good party. And, you know, it was nice to see so many people again. We haven't be able to have obviously that many like house parties since, you know, the pandemic or whatever. So it was fun. I just like realized though, after so long, like at first I was really anxious as everyone was coming. Not when the first people came, but you start to realize like when you're the host, it's like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Even though it's not actually a lot of work, but you want to make sure you're
making
the rounds.
Yeah, because you feel like you need to greet them.
Yeah, greet them. We were like offering drinks and just like trying to create an atmosphere where people who didn't know each other didn't feel so awkward when they first walked in.
That's why you got to hit the Negroni a little early. So you're like, tipsy.
I know. I did realize that later, that once I was drunk, then it was like everything was fine.
I had Negroni on tap, which was disgusting. And by Negroni on tap, I mean
pitcher of it, basically.
But it was a huge pitcher that I bought. And then
one of the taps on the bottom.
Yeah. The idea of pouring in bottles of gin and like pouring alcohol into something for people to drink is disgusting. Like pouring like a liter of gin and watching it barely make a dent in this thing I'm about to fill for people to drink, like poison. I was literally just like, okay, here, I'm going to poison all my friends. Was gross. But we also made breast milk White Russians, which is which is human breast milk. One part human breast milk, one part Kahlua, one part vodka, a big old ice cube in there. Delicious. Delicious. The breast milk was so good. Tasted nutty, tasted vanilla-y. My friend tastes good. Okay, maybe we'll wait.
Save this for when we talk weird. About
breast milk. Well, everyone thinks it's weird, but it's like, okay.
No, it's not
like,
that
check
weird.
Check your privilege. Okay, I don't know.
No, I mean, like, it's more weird that you're so obsessed with it. I don't think it's weird to, like, try it, but I feel like you have fixated on
it. I think it's
this.
So cool that a friend that I know currently is creating from their mammary glands one of the most gorgeous liquids in the world.
No, that is amazing. That's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? You want to jump
into
what
we're in this, because I'm like, I realize all I can talk about is breast milk and we need to save that.
Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You go first.
Do you ever have deja vu?
Yes.
Do you ever have deja vu?
Yes.
Just kidding. You get the joke,
oh.
Right? Okay. A new study just came out that has found some interesting insights into potentially what deja vu is. For a long time, you know, there's a lot of like paranormal explanations, or people think it means like, oh, there's a glitch in the matrix. There's all these kinds of things. But this study was like a legitimate science study. They basically put people into virtual reality in a variety of different situations. And so they created these worlds, and in some of them, they had really similar layouts and elements, and then other times the location would be completely distinct. So like no other place looked like it. And then they realized that they could trigger deja vu by introducing places that had really similar structural layouts if the person kind of forgot they had already seen something similar. So in their mind and in their hypothesis, they realize that a lot, or at least one element of deja vu, is something being similar enough to something you've experienced, but you cannot consciously necessarily access what that memory is. And so you have a feeling of familiarity. So the example they give is like, say you're visiting somebody in a hospital and you've never been to this hospital before, but a lot of hospitals have like really similar layouts. Like the counter might be similar, the hallway with where the furniture placed is might be similar. And so you're seeing this information, but it's not something you've ever seen before. And maybe your brain isn't making the connection to a very specific place you have actually experienced before. And as a result, that is one reason that deja vu can be triggered. So it's spatial resemblance is what they found.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not the only. Obviously, there's times when you're just sitting and having a conversation, but it's like they think it's that belief, or sorry, not belief, that feeling of familiarity without being able to place it is because there was actually something familiar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten deja vu when I've gone to Airbnbs and they all kind of look the same.
Yeah, that is a weird thing about Airbnb now. It is like...
What?
Airbnb now.
Oh, so, you said that like...
I just had a coffee, okay?
Yeah. Don't listen to this at 1.5 times the speed.
Yeah, is that sad? I listen to everything at 1.5 speed, but then I am like, can people even listen to this at 1.5
speed? Okay, let's slow down. What were you trying to say? You said something about BBB.
Airbnb, same thing you said.
But no, what I forgot.
It's just that they all look the same now. They really have an aesthetic of like, obviously at the beginning it was truly people's homes. Now it is people buying real estate and turning them into Airbnbs.
Yeah.
So like the furniture, the kitchens, the like kind of empty soullessness of lots of Airbnbs. Obviously there's plenty that are still like nice and cozy and give you a sense that you're actually in a home, but I kind of know what you mean. You are so spaced out, it's scaring me.
I'm just waiting to say what I'm gonna say.
Okay, what are you gonna say?
That Airbnb sucks now.
Oh yeah,
I think, or I don't know, I feel like I'm like, you know, well, the company's bad, it's Silicon Valley energy. Yeah. All the money's getting flooded back to America. We should
and
stay
it's
at
definitely
hotels.
Like destroyed rental industry income, and or sorry, it's like had a huge impact on ownership of land and of buildings, and which is impacted house prices, which is impacted rental prices, and it is like there's so many buildings that are just empty because of Airbnb.
Yeah,
as well.
And all it says on the wall is like, be free, live, laugh, love, happier, yeah. Don't talk to me before my call. Actually, those are like more fun than what it usually is. It's like it's like you're in a city, but it's like a New York City skyline picture that's black and white from IKEA, but you're like in Buenos Aires or whatever. Okay. So mine is way more intense, and it's very much like not in the breast milk fun vibe. So everyone just get ready.
Yeah.
I was reading about the Amazon and how it's going bye-bye, essentially, which is really bad. We're not talking about the Amazon that we want to go bye-bye. You know those signs? The wrong Amazon's burning.
Mm-hmm.
That Amazon... Jeff Bezos is thriving.
Right.
The other Amazon, not so much. Uh-huh. It's being cut down for beef and cattle, like legally, but there's a lot of illegal things happening too, like gold mining, there's like drug trades and all this stuff. And then scientists are trying to figure out how to like monitor the Amazon forest, because obviously it's so big and so hard to really like keep tabs on. So this article was all using like drones and stuff. It was super interesting.
To just like survey the land?
Yeah, to survey the land, but then also just like the thesis is that like climate change and keeping fossil fuels in the ground and at the forefront of all of everything we should be thinking about is like indigenous people and indigenous groups. And scientists are realizing indigenous people hold the key to saving the Amazon because a lot of the Amazon is indigenous land. So legally, it should not be touched due to all these like treaties and different things that the world has signed. But now they're realizing...
The world has signed?
Like a lot of like when NATO gets together, COP26, it's people like...
Trying to promote the protection of these areas, you mean?
Yeah, trying to promote the protection of indigenous people's like areas across the world.
Yeah,
like when you get together at COP26, it's like now finally being like spearheaded by indigenous people, and that's like a big part of the climate change like revolution. But what these indigenous people are saying is like people are still doing all these things like logging and stuff. It's just illegal. Like, how do we police this? And then I was learning about all those like indigenous groups that are like quote unquote uncontacted. I was like, that is so interesting to me. Like, I can't fathom that that's a thing. And then what this study was saying is that it's actually probably not that they haven't been uncontacted, but a lot of them in the Amazon were contacted in the late 1800s, early 1900s, because that's when so many people were going to the Amazon to get rubber. And there was this like horrible like rubber trade where indigenous people were enslaved to try and get Amazonian rubber. And from those awful like run-ins with the quote unquote Western society, they fled. So prior to that, they were like farming and trading and were actually like not what we've like sort of made up in our head. But all these horrible things happened to them that they were like, okay, we can't do this anymore. And one of the off, this is just about like Shell, Royal Dutch Shell, the oil company, they created a bunch of roads in the Amazon to try and look for oil. And then they didn't find it, so they just left it. And then these logging companies came in and started to use the roads. And then they eventually made contact with the Nahua, which was like a tribe. And after contact, the Nahua tribe, 50% of them died from disease because they like weren't used to the diseases of these people from outside. And now with all this sort of like increased illegal and even sometimes legal logging and like in almost infiltrating into the Amazon, they're super worried about more of these indigenous communities literally dying for the same sort of colonization reasons where they don't have the immunity to diseases. And a big issue is COVID-19. Like, what will happen if COVID-19
like is exposed to those communities?
It was so, it was like a fascinating read, but it was just
from what?
Nature magazine.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was, sorry, it was like a, it's like three different journal articles wrapped up in like a thesis, and like it was so interesting. And just like the Amazon rainforest is so important. Indigenous people live there. There's indigenous land that needs to be protected. How that is done is really challenging. This specific story is we're in the Peruvian Amazon, but it's just so big that it's like there's all these different countries that own different parts that have different stakes. And then when it comes down to it, so many freaking like Dutch Shell companies have gone like in there and just exploited it like so awfully throughout history that you're like, oh my God, I kind of forgot that that's where so many oil companies even looked for oil.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like everywhere it could be looked for, they kind of did, but
yeah, no, I just am like, it's so frustrating to think that they like, you know, did all this awful stuff to try and find it in the Amazon that he didn't even find it in that specific situation. So anyways, I was like, that's what I learned. It was really intense.
Okay. Interesting.
So now we're going to switch gears and start talking about... Well, we might not be switching gears.
Why?
Because you said there's some sort of intensity about breast milk. And there is. Yeah. There is. It is kind of a controversial subject and the facts could be tense.
We're here.
Here's Up Science. Two.
Make things make sense.
Is it this one?
Yes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home,
you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Okay, let's go.
So, where shall we begin?
I wish I could produce, but I can't.
What do you mean? Oh, like, breast I've milk. Always,
like, it's like, oh, it's just so music? Cool. It's just so cool. I wish I could produce
I
music
forgot what
too.
We were talking about, to be honest. We're here, and we're going to talk about breast milk in many different ways. Some very interesting things. I think first we're going to actually just talk about it.
Okay. Right?
As like, a substance, as, like,
secretion.
A nutritional source, as... Oh, is it secretion?
Isn't that a good way of putting it? It
yes,
is. A it secretion.
Is. And then, like we said, we're going to talk about bodybuilders and their use of it. We're going to talk about just its general health and safety and some new concerns. Where do you want to start?
So, breast milk. What is it? Milk from the breast of a human.
Imagine that's all you said.
Yeah.
And that's so, it.
The mammary glands.
Mammary
heart.
Mammary.
Mammary glands, which produce the milk. So they were likely before mammals. So breast milk's essentially been around for like millions of years. It predates mammals. So before mammals, it was likely that they were sweat glands that eventually adapt to produce special antimicrobial coatings for eggs. Then over time, when animals like mammals stopped producing eggs and started to like have a placenta, they started to secrete this white liquid instead, likely breast milk. So like the evolution of it.
Right. So they wouldn't have been mammals at the time, but you mean like through the evolutionary history of our ancestors.
Yeah. Like how did we start squirting stuff out of our tits? Right. Like it was likely a sweat gland, like that kind of thing. Cause it's not like those things happen. And it's considered a medicine. So it's a food, but it's also considered a medicine because it has like immunological properties,
right.
Antimicrobial properties, and it's a form of hydration. And then a lot of people who study breast milk consider it, a way to think about it is that there's a famous book too, it's white blood. So it's like without red blood cells, pretty much everything else that's in it is like what's in your human blood and all the things that like help keep you alive, minus your red blood cells.
Say again, like in breast milk? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
like
it's like red blood.
Wait, yeah.
What?
No, sorry. It's like your human blood, all of the nutrients.
Without the red blood cells.
Without the red blood cells.
I see. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
It's like one way to think about it quickly. Obviously, there are caveats, but that's like that's a pretty like umbrella way to think about
okay.
it.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like full of so much good stuff, full of proteins, full of carbohydrates, tons of fat. Half the calories are polyunsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fatty acids, because your brain is pretty much like fat, like, and it needs polyunsaturated fatty acids to wrap the neurons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a bunch of these specific fats that are great for neuronal development for the baby's brain.
And just like calorie density, right? Like it's interesting because obviously we haven't had a baby, but now we're having friends that are having babies and realizing what that means in terms of, you know, as soon as the baby's born, as it starts losing weight because you're no longer like feeding it through like internally, and now you have to feed it breast milk, and there's always that fear around making sure it's eating enough. Obviously, breast milk is like such an amazing supplement or nutritional
and delicious
secretion, but I wasn't really aware of like how until having, you know, both of our sisters had kids and now our friends are having kids. Like how intense that can be for some people.
Yeah.
And like getting a baby to latch properly, making sure it's eating and not knowing it's eating unless you're weighing it, literally. Because you can't necessarily always see. And this may just be ignorance because I'm a man, but I feel like also especially obvious because we don't have kids and have never had to deal with it firsthand.
I want tits so bad. I want mammary glands. It would be so much... Like, obviously, I enjoy my male privilege. I'm happy that I'm a man because my life is so much easier. But I would love to breastfeed. Like, what a gorgeous, amazing human... thing to do to breastfeed a kid. Like that's the only thing that we're lacking with our male privilege is that one gorgeous gift on earth.
I think it's so amazing to be able to like provide from your body, and I do think that is a challenge. Even I've seen in like straight friends or straight people, men in particular, I mean, because like they don't get to have that bonding experience. And I think it's a pretty common thing that fathers often feel inadequate at the beginning because they can help the wife, they can, or, you know, their partner, but like they cannot provide what the baby needs.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that like lots of babies are also raised on formula and fathers can be part of many different, and mothers can pump.
And if we adopt a baby, we're going to have to give a formula.
Like exactly. Formula
is also great.
But it is such an amazing, obviously, like, not only you're feeding a baby, like in the mother, there's like hormones going off that are like connecting you to it. And
just life. You're just like, I'm giving life through my tit. Like, that I would love to say that I have done that in my life.
Or that you even could. Yeah.
We never will give life through our tits. Yeah. And that sucks.
Yeah. I guess we could give it through our dicks.
But yeah, that's all we do. And it's like not, I mean, it's fun, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not as like connected.
No. And it's like, if you want to try and like be like to your kid, like, I created you by coming in your, they're gonna be like, being like, I breastfed you is kind of like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think kids don't really want to hear about that. But as you get older, it's easier
I would way rather hear about
that. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying is that like men's situation in all of this childbirth is nil to mom. But also, human breast milk is actually not that fatty dense compared to other mammals. Like, for example, rabbits, they like put their babies in, I was going to say the ground, but I'm like, yeah, the like dens, a den.
Yeah.
And they leave them for long periods of time. So when they breastfeed them, they're like designed to give them a little bit of milk. And then, and then they go away for long periods of time and the baby's fine.
I see. It's just like more dense.
Yeah. Whereas because primates have evolved to carry their young on them, that's why we as humans have to breastfeed so much, because it's actually quite diluted. It's a very like hydrating. Obviously, it has lots of fat and stuff, but you have to continually breastfeed your kid because we've evolved to have them literally attached to us. Mm-hmm. Whereas other mammals, they go, here's some milk, tit, tit, tit. And then they leave for like 6 hours and the babies are fine. So it's like in the world of mammals, our breast milk is very watery, which I thought was kind of cool.
It's like the oat milk of the milk family.
Yes. And it really, it had a nutty, oaty, delicious vanilla flavor. It was the best white Russian I've ever had in my life. Oh my the breast God. Milk white Russian. But there's no vitamin D in it, so you have to like have your kid exposed like, to a bit of sun.
Without burning them. Because now everyone's also terrified of their kids like, A, putting sunscreen on them and poisoning them with sunscreen.
Yeah.
Because of the fear of like it going in the bloodstream. But then B, also getting too much sun and getting like, you know, damaged skin.
Yeah. Like obviously don't like roast your kid in the sun, but there's no vitamin D.
I feel like that. I know we've done podcasts on sunscreen, but even I flip back and forth where I'm like, you know, I don't want to wear sunscreen always because I like want to get vitamin D. But then I'm also paranoid about like it destroying my skin and giving me skin cancer.
Oh my God. I'm so in the other camp as the white scared of the sun. It's like, I'm getting the vitamin D. I'm fine. If I'm ever in the situation where I'm like needing to put on sunscreen, I'm not wearing the vitamin D.
But we live in a place of the world. I guess you're right. Like in the winter, it's different though.
Yeah. In the winter, I'm not slathering on sunscreen. And I am when
I'm going skiing. But some people say to do all the time.
So exposed to the sun. Like when you ski, you're so exposed to the sun.
I guess. Because
the sunlight's literally reflecting off of the snow.
I know, but it's just such an interesting thing that why does it feel so good to be in the sun? Okay, we've talked about
it. Well, it doesn't. Like, I literally hate it. Okay, anyway.
But I love it.
I know. I'm just saying, I hate it. It's not.
Like, speaking of nutrition, do you want me to talk a little bit about this bodybuilding stuff, or do you have a few more things you wanted to say? I can't tell.
Yeah, okay, wait. Let me finish for the baby so that intellectually people understand. Okay, and then we'll go into like.
Baby to bodybuilder pipeline.
Yeah. So, colostrum, which is the stuff that first comes out.
Yes, which I didn't know about till our sisters had to go through this.
Yeah, and it was like intense. So like that's like very antiseptic. It has like all these antibodies in it, and it like coats the baby's like esophagus and their microbiome to be like, okay, like it like lines.
You're alive.
It. Yeah. And then it slowly becomes fattier and fattier like as it goes on. Sorry, when you start like latching kid to tea, the actual feeding session, though, there will start to become more fat produced near the end of the feeding session to help the baby be like, oh, I'm full. So even within feeds, it becomes more fatty, and it's like helping the baby be like, me done. And then also just that there's a bunch of stuff in breast milk that feeds your microbiome, literally is indigestible to humans, is designed to go into your gut and feed the right bacteria. So anyways, I'm like, yeah, I did shots of breast milk and I'm proud of it. Okay, now let's get into why I probably shouldn't. And I'm
it
a
is
freak.
Just pretty amazing to think about. I mean, it is worth knowing, and I'll touch on this later in one of my studies, that the quality of breast milk is actually related to the nutrition of the mother.
Yeah.
And so they're like talking about like bodybuilders. So basically, you know, not a lot, but there's like a niche part of the bodybuilding world that drinks breast milk for their gains.
You're telling me there is bodybuilders who drink breast milk for their gains?
Yeah. So it's become this thing where there was even a Netflix episode, a show called Unwell, documenting this. And the basic premise is that, you know, breast milk is calorie dense and nutrient dense, and that, you know, a lot of these people will say like has special properties, and if it can make a baby grow and it has growth hormones in
it. I mean, this is me on Saturday night when I was drinking breast milk.
Yeah, you were like, I feel amazing.
Yeah, like my Jack, you see my pics.
So there's this community out there, and obviously this is like, I don't know the size of this community, but it's not like,
well, we know they're jacked, so they're big guys
who are taking it, believing that it's like helping them get bigger, better.
Where are they getting it?
So they're literally getting it basically off the black market or off of like Facebook Marketplace, like buying it from breastfeeding mothers.
Okay,
so that's one of the problems, first of all, is that like breast milk is a limited source. We can't start like being like, everyone should be drinking breast milk from mothers because it's going to help you be healthy and stay fit. Like, there is not a market for this. It's expensive.
Pretending to be grossed out, but secretly like can't wait till later to go
Google this and see. But okay, so like breast milk, as you said, it has a lot in it. It's a cup of breast milk is about 170 calories, which is 20 more than whole milk per a cup.
It's arguably a superfood. We're talking
10 grams of fat, 16 grams of carbs, 2 grams of protein, which is 5 less than whole milk. So it's interesting that bodybuilders are like leaning into something that has less protein than an alternative.
It's got immunoglobulin. They're probably doing it for like the immune.
Yeah, I think in their minds, they're thinking it's a good nutritional source that probably has some kind of like magical abilities because not
there's
magical,
whey proteins in it. They love whey protein.
And it's like you think of, okay, this is like essentially designed by the human body to help a baby. What's the answer? Should you do it? I mean, no.
It should be for babies. Like, designed for babies.
So like, it's not as though there's not a possibility that breast milk, it's not like it's bad. It's not like it's you would die or that it's like not good for you. There is no evidence for it being better than any other alternative.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean like maybe studies might show, okay, it actually provided some benefit. So it's not like the benefit can't exist. It's just saying actually there is no evidence right now.
I feel bad, but the bodybuilding community is not where I'm looking to for the answers to anything. No offense, boys.
Well, then like I said, because it's being bought off of, you know, quote unquote, the black market or just in places that are not regulated, like it's not coming from a provider other than somebody themselves in their own home. Not all of it's created equal. So if the person who's creating the breast milk is not nutritionally taking care of themselves, that will transfer into the breast milk. It can be contaminated given that it's not being stored in a sterile environment. So they actually did a study of 101 samples purchased online. 10% of them were topped off with cow's milk or baby formula. So as people just
I would do that. If someone bought it off mine, I'd be like, milk in here.
75% had pathogenic or disease causing bacteria and viruses in it because they weren't probably kept sterile. Like, obviously,
it was like, going bad.
Yeah. And like, it's like you think of where you buy your milk and stuff. Like, that stuff's regulated.
Yeah. The milk that was given to me was frozen and immediately went right into my fridge. Then,
but even then, it's like practices. You don't know. There could, like, a lot of these even had feces in them because it's people handling things in their own home in an environment that's not like a sterile factory or a sterile place where you're producing a product that has to be up to the standard of like the food associations. Do you know what I mean? So there's just a risk there. Ultimately, there's just no evidence. It doesn't, again, mean that we might not find one day in studies that it gives you like some benefit, but
no,
right
it's
now,
not.
There's
it's like, no, okay. I'm just saying, I'm putting my foot and my left tit down and saying no. Like, breast milk should be for babies. It's designed for babies.
Well, I mean, we drink cow's milk. It's not as though...
No, but like, okay, if you think about the world, like, it's a serious issue. Yeah. Like, we can now start talking about like formula.
True.
And like
the shortages of formula.
Yeah, like, and like, there are places like Brazil where like mothers who, like that in the past they would have like wet mothers who would like breastfeed the babies of other people while those other people did jobs or like whatever, like. And that is like important in some ways. And then I read about how in Brazil they actually have this type of thing where there's people will save breast milk for other babies who need it. Like, That's the thing. I'm like, the bodybuilders don't need it.
Right.
Like, that's a no from me.
And there are so many other sources that are already available to bodybuilders, whether that's whey protein, whether that's creatine. Like, there's supplements that can give you energy, like caffeine, things that can help you working out. So.
And even like, yeah, and I know I'm yelling considering I did just drink breast milk as an adult. Like, why am I pretending that I'm like, but it was so funny that even with her, I was like, I hope to God there's not a day where she's like, I need more breast milk. And I'm like, there I am partying with my white vodka and breast milk. But yeah, like so when it comes to formula, the history of formula is so interesting. I learned about it this week. So like our parents, I don't know what they were, but they likely were formula fed because it was like in the early 50s, 60s.
It was very popular.
It was essentially Nestle.
Let's here we go, Nestle.
Like, here we go, Nestle. We're going to talk about the Amazon.
Name one good thing they've done.
Truly nothing. Like, okay, I guess Kit Kats taste pretty good. Like, that's it. So, and here I am. Actually, it's science. Boo, science. Literally, men and science in the Enlightenment. They started to understand, oh my God, things are made up of like fats and carbs and protein. And they started to realize like, oh, breast milk's made of fats and carbs and protein. Wait a second. The name formula is literally because they figured out the formula of fats and carbs and protein.
Interesting. And how to mimic or model actual breast milk.
And then they started to say, these scientists, these predominantly male scientists, that it was better than breast milk.
Because it was like perfectly constructed.
And also literally because they're dumb ass men, they said things like, women's like bad tempers can sour the milk. They literally were like, if you can pass on your like personality through your tits. So like if you get a wet nurse that is like quote unquote poor, like this is like things that like literally scientists were saying in the Enlightenment. If you had a wet nurse who was poor, then your kid's like gonna
become
poor.
That down to them.
Like, you know, like horrible.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like extremely racist, like messed up shit. Welcome to science, welcome to the Enlightenment. It wasn't that enlightened. They then figure out, wait, we can make a bunch of money off this. Nestle spearheads it, and they start selling formula, saying it's better than breast milk. And like only 1 in 4 kids in America in the 1950s were breastfed.
Wow.
Because it was formula at the time was being pitched as this.
Right. The better alternative.
Yeah. And it had come a long way. Like there were times like babies would die if the parents weren't able to breastfeed. Cracked nipples could kill you before like antibiotics. Like there was a reason why this could be beneficial in society. But of course, Nestle capitalism takes over and it becomes awful. Then the 60s, 70s, the hippie movement, people start to be like, companies are bad.
Go back to natural.
Yeah. But also being like, this, do we trust Nestle? Like prior to that, people were obsessed with like companies. Like literally companies were like religion at the time. Like that's what Mad Men's kind of
still
about.
Still are now
to some people who are like, Elon Musk gonna save us or whatever. So yeah, then Nestle starts going to like poorer countries and starts selling their formula because they're losing the market of America. And then the formula requires clean water, and there's this crazy, like, people say that Nestle killed millions of kids because they went to these countries, sold it, said it was better, but it required mixing it with clean water, which these countries didn't have. And there's a really famous court case where there's a quote where the guy, he's from Nestle, they're like, is this dangerous if there's not clean water? And he's like, it's clearly instructed that like is this dangerous? And he's like, yes, it's dangerous. And then everyone like kind of was like, oh my God, Nestle's evil. One of the many reasons.
Imagine being those people. Like there's all these like companies and people that go on behalf of them just to lie or avoid
they
questions.
They get paid so much.
But like, I hope those people realize that's their legacy.
I know.
That you're the, like also, you see it with even Google and stuff, and I know we're posting this stuff on like platforms. you like they're always brought to court, and you're like, no, they're in Facebook, and you just like, no, they're being like, no, we don't spread propaganda at all. Like our algorithms definitely don't send people down a pipeline of becoming crazy people, and you're like, we know it does that.
Yeah,
just say it. But like
they have to justify it. Here we go. Side note, everyone. Side note. They have to justify it somehow. So like, if I think of someone working at Nestle, it's like, well, people need formula. So we're making formula, and formula is actually important for queer parents, for parents who can't breastfeed. It's actually an amazing alternative source that we've made as humans. Like that's what they do in their head. But then, and then they ignore their legacy.
I know. I mean, you might be right. I don't know. But like, obviously, there's also like the oil industry and cigarette industry that sat in court and were like, yeah, there's nothing. These don't do bad things. Yeah. These are purely good. And we have no evidence that they do bad things, even though they were the ones who realized like cigarettes kill.
Yeah. That's why I find capitalism and money so menacing, because people who are obsessed with like wealth or like taking a photo on a yacht, for example, like to me, it's all connected. It's like, isn't that embarrassing? Because to like, you know what I mean? You can only ever access that amount of money at the expense of other people. Like that is how capitalism works. So people who are interested in wealth always, it's like, I have a uncomfortable reaction when people talk about money and wealth as good, because it's to me like a thing that's like, you have such a moral blind spot. And I mean, it happens now with our friends. Like people are starting to make money, people are like, my aspiration is to like own like a fancy car,
right?
And it's or like really and it's hard for me to like, also we're so lucky and wealthy through like, I got to get rich teaching science, which has always been my dream. Like I'm so lucky. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to like,
it's easier to learn that lesson once you've been able to go through it and realize it's not, you can see, like we've been in spaces to see how disgusting it can be to see people like hoarding wealth and then wasting wealth in the most ridiculous, gross ways.
It's crazy.
On yachts.
It's crazy.
With food, with whatever.
And we've seen it actually, like now that I'm thinking about it, like we were just at this like YouTuber convention and it was like, I was like on the bus leaving and I was like, I need to get the, I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here, because every conversation happening around me
about money
was about how they're going to get more money, more clicks. Like, and it's like, no one is stopping at any moment to be like, this is sick. Everyone's obsessed with Mr. Beast, who just like spends a bunch of money and like fucking makes a burger company. Like after Team Trees, like it's weird. There's such a disconnect between, like it's success as good versus like destroying the planet is like the only way it can work. And like Nestle is just a great example. And I think that there's a lot of those people who worked at Nestle, to bring it back, who were, you know, being told, wow, you're so successful. Look at your gorgeous home. You've provided for your kids. You've created an amazing life for yourself. You're good job.
Yeah.
But then they're like,
sad.
But a bunch of kids died. Literal babies died.
Mm-hmm.
But now formula is like, it has more different issues, because what happened in America with the recent formula shortage was different states would have like legal contracts of the only places to make specific formula, because it has to be so regulated. And then that one major factory had like issues and had to be shut down. And then it was like, oh my God. So there was actual formula shortages, which is really scary.
Yeah, people, totally.
We rely on it.
Yeah, there's a that's what makes these conversations hard sometimes, because it's like nothing is black and white. There is good, like that's entangled into capitalist structures and structures that exploit other parts of society, right? And so it's like hard to be like, well, we can't say like, get rid of formula because Nestle is like capitalizing on it and exploiting people and exploiting worker conditions for this and destroying communities for this. Like it is hard, because it's like, and that is what like even people say when it's like countries, some countries are like totally destroyed by tourism, but then everyone's like, but if you just take away tourism, you destroy the country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like everything is cyclical, and it's like much harder to like get out of those sticky situations.
Well, that's kind of like Bette Midler got like a little canceled because I think what she was thinking was, okay, formula equals companies equals Nestle equals bad. And when this formula shortage happened, she tweeted something
just like
well, how long have you ever heard of like breast milk? And then what I learned from that was that breastfeeding is actually a socioeconomic issue, because only rich people can do it, because you need to have access to time. In America, you don't even have
if you're away from your kids, if you're having to work all the time.
They get like a month or something.
Yeah.
Like sick. Like it's in Canada, we have an actual functioning society that is socialist, and you get a year or more. In America, you don't get that. So in order to breastfeed your kid, you need to be able to take that time off work. Mm. You need to be able to hire, like essentially hire people to look after your life while you do that, which I thought was super interesting. And they were like, Bette Midler, why you got canceled, was the right tweet would have been, we need to have a year off of work paid by the government in order to actually have a conversation about breastfeeding.
And even beyond that, it's like sometimes babies don't latch. Sometimes it's families that don't have a breastfeeding person that can provide for the baby. So you're right. I get that she was trying to probably be like, say something in another perspective that she was looking at, stop relying on these companies. Yeah. But it's like
she was actually ripping on poor and marginalized people in America
without realizing.
I know, because it's Bette Midler. She did not realize. We know that Bette Midler.
And that will always happen. It will always happen as we as society are able to talk more and understand more deeply and intricately the way that these issues like intertwine and like, what do you say, like catapult downwards. Do you know what I mean? Like,
trickle down.
It honestly is. You see it every generation where it's like, first we can talk about like queer rights and then we can start, or gay rights, and then we can start realizing, well, there's lots of things underneath that are actually, now that we've reached this point, we
now
can
that
talk
a
about
white
more.
Gay hot man. Yeah. Like, he's always going to start with like a white man.
There's like deeper issues that a society can start to understand. Speaking about sort of like the insidious part of capitalism, this ties into my next study because it's actually about microplastics, which have been found in human breast milk for the first time, which is spooky, obviously. So, this is obviously concerning because we aren't even totally sure what microplastics do to like adult health, and we're finding them like actually really recently this year they found microplastics in human blood for the first time.
Wow. And they might shrink taints, boys. So let's think about that. Yeah. Your dick's gonna get smaller.
And so it's like, what is this doing to breastfeeding babies? We don't know. Like, we don't know for sure to what degree it will hurt or not hurt, but that's obviously just concerning now that we're finding it in breast milk. It's like there is plastic literally on every corner of this earth, and in this study
in your tag
they could only study to a certain like size of microplastic, and they were like, that's not even that small, there's definitely even more if you like can break it down even further. In this study, which wasn't on like a ton of women or people who are breastfeeding, but there was 75% of these breastfeeding people had microplastics in them. 75%. Obviously, in labs, there are known toxic effects of microplastics on human cells, lab animals, marine wildlife. But again, they said in living beings, we don't know can you just get rid of it? Does your body just digest it?
That's going to be something in our lifetime we're going to understand so much more about.
Something that was kind of freaky was they also were correlating or following the mother's plastic environment. So like they were like, okay, what are some of the mothers buying more plastic products, eating more seafood, like all those things? What's in their homes? What are they interacting with? It was not correlated with that at all.
Oh my God. There's like granola mummies with their little like
it just means
wooden
that
Tupperwares. Still
the study was basically it's inevitable that humans are just being exposed to microplastics without necessarily like even if you're trying to avoid it, which is
oh my
spooky.
God. If you like, remember when we did that video where we wore all the plastic that we used, and we like it's horrifying. Within like we started it, and within like an hour, you're like holy
covered in plastic.
It's everywhere.
Everything is plastic.
And even the funniest things, the Nature magazine I subscribe to comes wrapped in plastic. Literally, the cover of it will be like the plastic problem. I'm like why the fuck did you wrap this in plastic? And it's because they want to add the back of like a subscription thing. It's like, get rid of that.
Yeah. Or they're probably thinking, oh, it might get ruined in the process. Like,
but it's just like it's insane. It's like the only
also
magazine
like
that comes
yeah
in plastic.
Then, exactly. That is
the
really
New Yorker
weird.
Doesn't.
I want to say pages. Two things. So the study and the researchers gave a very big caveat, and they want, this is what they said: it must be stressed that the advantages of breastfeeding are much greater than the disadvantages caused by the presence of polluting microplastics. Studies like ours must not reduce breastfeeding of children, but instead raise public awareness to pressure politicians to promote laws that reduce pollution. So they were like, we don't want this to be used to encourage to make people afraid
like, if you
of
use
their breastfeeding.
Formula from your plastic formula bottle, like it's not going to be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was like reading about this, and someone was telling their story about when they started being like, oh, I want to reduce the plastic in my life, I'm gonna switch to glass this, glass that, and then they were like starting to realize how everything is plastic. Just like, I think until you start to actually try and remove plastic from your life,
insane,
you immediately are like, everything is
well, because you think like you're like, okay, I'm not gonna do takeout because that's like you like we've trained ourselves to see plastic in these specific things. It's like takeout bad, plastic straw bad, but just then like, you're like, Then you, yeah, literally just
in this room.
Do
my computer
anything.
Is made of plastic. This is made of plastic. The sign is made of plastic. My shirt's made of plastic. The light is made of plastic. The camera's made of plastic. Like,
yeah, but
your glasses are made of plastic.
I don't even mean, like, that's freaking me out now because I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about the objects. I'm thinking of even just like over there, like the granola bar that I bought that's advertised.
All of our food's wrapped in plastic.
Like, it's freaking granola ass healthy shit. They're individually wrapped.
Mm.
And it's like, what the fuck?
Even the box is probably coated in plastic. So that it won't get wet.
Freshly squeezed orange juice I bought. Boom, plastic. I'm just looking over
there. And we've talked about this before. It's like...
Those markers.
Literally everything. Yeah. Everything is plastic.
Oh, and clothing.
That's what I said already.
Oh, you did. Yeah, polyester. Like, also, clothing. It's made... Plastic's made from oil. Okay, wow.
But it is hard because it's like, obviously, it's an amazing invention in one hand. Yeah. Like, and can be so important in some environments to have a sterile, like, hospital environment using plastic sheets and those kind of
things.
That's
why Rachel Salt, the queen of all queens, has always said you have to treat it like gold.
Totally.
And we
don't
treat it like
gold.
How do we
use
it
in
waste.
The right... Well, I mean, it's also so light. Like, when you compare the shipping costs of glass and heavier substances and plastic's moldable and like there's so many amazing qualities about it, but then it is just like, is it poisoning us?
Yeah. Wow. That was a good app. Breastfeeding took us all over.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Okay, let's go.
Final thoughts? Or you
no,
say
my brain started to go elsewhere. We started to talk about something and I started to think about the movie Bros. And I was like, we don't need to get into that.
Okay.
Let's just say gay people, let's learn how to market our movies without being like, you must see it. Okay.
Okay. Thanks all for listening and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.